and just all of you. It's just good to see your face. And I've said it before, we can't see through the mask, but I could see your eyes. Amen. You know, the eyes tell our story. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's get started on tonight. We have a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Last night, we began in the book of Genesis, which is also called the Book of Beginnings. Tonight, we're in the book of Exodus, which is called actually the second book of Genesis, but the book of deliverance. Amen. Amen. This is a wonderful story about a man named Moses. It's a familiar story. And the story that you're going to hear tonight and the lesson that you're going to hear tonight, you're going to also be able to look at the story of Jesus and see similarity, where God sent Moses as deliverer to the children of Israel. God sent Jesus as our deliverer for salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we go through the book, I just want to recap and go back to chapter 1, because it's very important that we see the story where it is beginning. Amen? In chapter 1, we see that the Israelites are in captivity in Egypt. And we see in verses 1 through 7 that they are oppressed, depressed, suppressed, and in slavery. Similar to what happened to us as a people, how we were brought over into the America and placed into captivity to be oppressed, suppressed, depressed, and put in slavery. And so a lot of the story that you hear tonight, you'll be able to identify with it through history mostly, because most of us in here, I don't think, have experienced the worst side of the oppression that our people had to deal with. But there is somewhat some oppression today. We see it in the culture. We see it all over. We see what's happening with the police and our young people. We see the culture just spiraling down into a downward spiral. And so the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And don't you know that you're God's chosen people? We are the people who are called by God. That doesn't mean that you have to be a preacher, you have to be a minister. All children of God belong to God. And there are special privileges for us because we belong to God. God never forgot the enslavement that the people were in. He didn't forget about them. And at a point in their misery, God heard their cry. Now, sometime we got to go through. We just got to go through.
That's right.
And for one thing, it perfects our faith, okay? It draws us closer to God. It makes us trust God more. So what we're going through today is not in vain. And God knows all about it. But we must put our trust in Him. Why? Because the Bible tells us to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So we see the children of Israel, even though they're in captivity, they begin to multiply. And it becomes more of them, even in captivity. And that just means that begin to produce more offspring. And while they're doing this in captivity, Pharaoh can't believe that this is going on. Okay? And so he's going, hey, I got to come up with a plan. It's too many of them people. It's just too many of them being born. So his plan, his decree was to destroy all the males that were born. And so he made a decree and even tried to use the Israelite midwives to kill their own babies. But let me tell you something on today. A born again, bona fide believer will never go against the word and the will of God. Those midwives, I know one of them's name was Pua and the other one Shafir or something. I don't quite remember. But the Pharaoh told them, now, when these babies are born, I want you to sit there and watch them be born. And if they come out male, what I want you to do is kill them. They disobeyed Pharaoh. They didn't do what Pharaoh told them to do. They stood up for and owned the promises of God, that God was there with them, that he would be a light to them, that he would lead them and guide them through that experience that they were going through. So the Pharaoh went back and he asked them, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And they told him, we serve a mighty God. We're going to obey our God. You are not our God. We're going to obey our God. And that's what they did. And out of that, Moses was saved. He was saved. See, our obedience can save somebody else. Amen? Amen. Your obedience can lead someone else to Jesus Christ. Because they watch you. They watch me. Amen. So that is the beginning. That's part of the story. So as Moses became, he was born, his mother hid him. And she hid him in some bushes at the river. She concealed him for 3 months. Because all males were what? Supposed to be dead. She hid him and concealed him until she couldn't anymore. And when she couldn't anymore, she made a little basket. And she put that baby in the basket, trusting God at his word. And believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be delivered out of their situation. And as she put him in that basket and he began to go down the river, his sister followed along the shore and watched that basket till it ended up in the right place at God's appointed time. Yeah. And it ended up where they found him. And they took him to Pharaoh's sister. And she decided to keep the baby. But the miraculous thing about it was that his mother ended up nursing him and getting paid to do it. So you see how the script was flipped? We got to pay for daycare now. But she didn't have to pay for daycare. Daycare paid her. Amen. And amen, Pastor. What'd you say?
God's plan.
God's plan. Amen. When we do it God's way, when we follow God's plan, everything is going to work the way it's supposed to for us, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what the situation is. It's going to work out for our good. Amen. And so you probably know the rest of the story. He went into Pharaoh's house. He became great. He learned about Egypt. He became handy and useful in the house of Pharaoh. And he grew strong in the Egyptian practices. But you know, sometimes, even though we're in the world and we're not of the world, we can learn something that can help us in the future. Amen? All things are not bad. Okay? So Moses learned to, you know, read their law. He learned how to do certain things that the Egyptians wanted him to do, and he fared well while he was there. But there came a time where Moses saw his people and how oppressed they were and abused they were. And his heart began to cry out to them, to God for that. And so as we go on, we will see in chapter 3, in the beginning, that Moses went to the burning bush and had an experience with God like none before. And God began to talk to him and call him into the ministry that he wanted him in. And let me tell you something. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what kind of situation that you're in. You have a calling on your life. You have a calling. It may be, you may be a great cook. You may be the cook for the family. You may be the caregiver for the family. You may be called to preach. You may be called to teach. You may be called as a great evangelist or missionary. But Moses was called to deliver the people out of Egypt. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is where we're going to start on tonight. Amen. In the years of Moses' life, they're divided into three parts called the 340s. Okay? Three times 40 is what? One what? 120. Moses died when he was 120 years old. And in those 40 parts, he had a special task. Okay? And the first 40, it was spent as the prince in Pharaoh's court. The second, as a shepherd in Midian. And the third, as a king in Jeshurun. See how life can take a change? Notice every age, every 10 years of your life, there's something different manifesting in your life. We don't like it all the time. Sometimes it's not what we expected. Sometimes it's not something that we like, but it happens. And what we have to do is learn to trust God that whatever we're going through, he's there with us. He's right here with us. He's an omnipresent God. It's a very present help. So he is here with us. We are never alone. Never. I don't care where you are. You can be in prison. You're not alone. You can be in the hospital. You're not alone. You could be home by yourself. You're not alone. You could be in school. You're not alone. God's eyes are upon his children. And he has a 24-hour surveillance over us. He's watching us day and night. It's like a surveillance camera. Never goes off. He sees all. He knows all. And he knows what's best for us. At the burning bush, the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. It wouldn't burn up. It was just on fire, representing God's holiness, God's purification. And when Moses went to Mount Sinai, he had to realize that he was on holy ground. Now, this is holy ground. But sometimes we don't treat it like holy ground. But we must be aware that since God is everywhere, this is holy ground. So Moses, he couldn't just go up there any kind of way. We hear the pastor preach that over and over. You shouldn't come in God's house any kind of way. We ought to reverence him. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a saving God. He's a delivering God. And we should reverence him as such. Amen. So Moses had to take off his shoes, his sandals. God began to minister to him and talk to him. And you know, at this time, he's calling Moses. And he's telling him, I got something for you to do. Moses is reluctant, like many of us. Not because we don't believe God, but it's because sometimes we think what God is asking us is impossible. But what is impossible with us is possible with God. Imagine God telling you, you're going to go and deliver millions of people. And you thinking, me? I want you to go down to that to Kroger, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to minister to those people. I want you to, Reverend Donovan, give them the plan of salvation. I want you to witness to them. And sometimes when God gives us instructions or when we're taught what the Word of God is telling us to do, we become fearful because we don't understand. And we don't know what's going to happen. That's what brings fear, because we don't know the outcome. We don't know the outcome.
I like what it says there in verse 2. It says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of a fire out of a bush. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how God works
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for that. And that is so true. We just got to do it. Moses, you know, he was kind of reluctant. And as I said, and as the pastor said, sometimes we are too, but we just have to go in faith. We have to do what we do in faith and just trust God in what we are doing. God has a wonderful plan for our life. Jeremiah went through almost the same thing. God called him as a child. And he was reluctant. He said, I'm but a child. He said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. You tell the people what I said. Amen. Another experience of, Another experience is, you know, with Isaiah. Isaiah had a divine appointment with God too, when he was in the temple as well. Paul had an experience with God. And many of us have had experiences with God. All your experiences with God is not going to happen in the church. Some of them done had happened to somebody getting ready to hit a crack pipe. Some of them done happened to people in the hotel when they shouldn't have been in the hotel with somebody they shouldn't have been with. God can expose himself to us in any kind of way he decides to do. We just have to answer the call. Amen? So, he said, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God is so holy that when we stand before him in our sin, we have to reverence him as a holy God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned, and I'm reading from the NIV, I'm sorry, about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Havirites, Jebusites, all them bites. And now the cry of the Israelites had reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. There's nothing that we go through that God doesn't know, even a worse situation. We see babies being murdered. God knows about it. We see children turning on their parents. God knows about it. He spoke about it in his word. Amen. So, verse 11, it says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? We think so little of ourselves. as children of God. It's not that we should have an arrogant spirit. It's not that we should walk around like we're all that and a bag of chips. But we should be humble servants of God. And so Moses is trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? And God is telling him who I am, who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God laid it out to him. That way nobody can get credit but him. It was me. It was under my authority, my power, my dominion that I orchestrated that you would be the prophet of this time. You would be the deliverer of the people. I did this. I am that I am. God is self-existent. Nobody made him. He is who he is. Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Moses did. He said, I can't speak eloquent enough.
Yes.
He tried to make excuses. Sometimes we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, we deliver ourselves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we're not capable of doing something. But through God, we can do all of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's it, too. We're not capable. We can't do nothing without God's ability. We can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit inside of us. It takes the power of God to give us the power to do what God has told us to do. Your flesh can't do it. But the power of God is on the inside of each and every believer. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to make excuses. For greater is he that's in us than he that, what say, Pastor?
That's
in the world. Amen. Faith is like the key to opening up a door. To trust God by saying yes and making no excuses. Moses was, he had some things he was lacking, like all of us.
That's right.
You know, God has blessed us with our gifts, talents, and abilities that we have as individuals.
Right.
And they're not all the same.
Say that.
They're different. But when God saved us, he gave us the abilities to do whatever it was he called us to do.
Right.
He appointed us with gifts or a gift, different talents. I love to sing, but I can't sing.
You're all right.
Okay. I can't do it. I could sing, but I can't sing. Are you willing to say yes today? Yes, God. Let your will be done in my life. A lot of times we pray, Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. As soon as God say, okay, or the pastor say, go over there and teach this, or go and, you know, do this, or whatever the task is. I'm sorry, Deke. God has given us that ability to do that. Some people don't have organizational skills. Moses was one that didn't. His father-in-law had to teach him and tell him, look, you need to get a priest for every tribe. You need some help. A lot of times, we'll even get to doing stuff around the church and don't want nobody helping us. Not
out.
New Hope.
Burn out. Burn out.
Not New Hope. We don't do that kind of stuff here. I'm sorry.
I don't.
Amen. No, the pastor will put you to work. At the moment, be sitting back there and he'd be going, you can go downstairs and teach them children a day. Okay, pastor. Yes, sir. We have to be ready. Amen. The Israelites were taken in captivity into a world system. This is the world system designed to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10 and 10. That's the world system. And the culture, it's called the culture now, but it's still the world system. It's called the culture. They just changed the names, but the pot of soup is the same. Okay? The captivity into a world system that's designed to kill, steal, and destroy, to strip us, to oppress us, deny us, enslave us. But God still gets the glory. Even though our lives are very complicated and difficult, our struggles are not in vain. Jesus was taken from Bethlehem to Egypt and hid from King Herod, just like they had to hide Moses. Matthew 2, 13 through 23. When Jesus used the term, I am. It was a self-declaration of an already existing powerful God. He is stating his name, Lord, Yahweh, which is the name of the Old Testament Hebrews, in which they call God. His name is forever. And God was saying, I am He, period. The culture that we're in can cause doubt. Look at what's happening with our political leaders. They're fighting one another. I'm good at that. He's good at that. She's good at this. I'm good at that. And sometimes we can get caught up in that instead of trusting God. That whoever he puts in place, whether it's in his permissive will, he's going to allow that to happen, for whatever reason, and we don't know all the time. We don't know. We could speculate all we want to that this pandemic is on us because of our sin. We don't know. We just know that in the last days, when God started opening up them plagues and them vials, that destruction was going to begin to happen with this world. Doubt displays our inability to trust God who has given us everything that we need to prosper, to know how to walk, this Christian walk. He's given it to us, the ability. The culture can't offer you that. The culture, the system is designed for failure. And this is what Satan is already aware of. So if we can get tied up and wrapped up into the culture, why trust God? Because then the culture is leading your thought process. And it's guiding you on what to do and how to do it. And many times we get caught up in that and we don't even realize it. But we have to learn that by trusting God and by answering his call his way, that everything will be all right. Whatever he calls us to do, we already know the task is going to be finished. It will be completed. And look, that's why we're all here today. A body without a head is a monster. God needs you. He needs me. So that we can fulfill the purpose of his mission when he left the earth. And that was to be a testimony to those without Christ Jesus. Amen.
Teacher, that's a very important point that you brought out there. We got to be careful who we listen to. What instructions we're getting from.
Say so.
Because we can be misled. Moses was a man of faith. Mm-hmm. And when God was talking to him, he humbled himself and he felt like he wasn't worthy, you know, to do this. But once again, through God, we can do all things. We got to be careful who we listen to, giving us instruction. Somebody might come up to you and say, "You look like a preacher." Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you want to go out there and try to preach. Mm-hmm. See, you better got all messed up because you're listening to somebody else. You need to make sure that if it's a call upon your life, that it's coming from God and not from somebody else. Because if it's coming from God, he's going to give you the strength, he's going to give you the help, he's going to give you the comfort, he's going to give you the peace. Most of all, he's going to give you the anointing to do what he wants you to do. So be careful who you listen to.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, because I heard somebody say one time, he got a head like a preacher. And I was going, huh? What the preacher head look like? I don't know. I guess it's a big old round long head with some, I don't know. But I heard somebody say that he got a head like a preacher. He going to preach. And I said, okay. So the pastor is right. You better know your call. You better know it. And don't let nobody trick you out of your call. Amen? Sometimes people are called and, you know, Moses, he was called and he was anointed for the task.
Yeah.
But he also had to learn some things along the way. And he messed up. That's why he had to run to Midian, because he killed a man and buried him in the sand.
That's right.
You know, and he had to run away from that for 40 years. But God. He had to go out there and become a shepherd and deal with some stinky sheep. Why? Because we're sheep.
Yeah, say that.
And we stink. We stink.
So plain it
Gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Moses made 5 excuses.
That's right.
He said, I'm a nobody. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. That was God's answer.
Right.
He said, I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. So that was God's response to him thinking, I'm a nobody. Trying to tell somebody
about
everything. Amen. I'm a nobody. I'm not a theologian. I don't know what to say. I'm unconvincing. They will never believe me. They'll never listen to me. They will say, the Lord didn't appear to you. And many times you will hear that. God ain't said nothing. I'm not a preacher. That was what he said. God's response, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not an eloquent speaker, neither herefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who have made man's mouth?
Come on now.
Or who have maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what you should say. Guess at that point, Moses was seeming like he wasn't really interested.
He could make a case because he really didn't know if the people would believe what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have that fear in us.
That's it. Amen. Amen. We just tell them, and it's up to God to do the work in that person. It's up to God to work the heart and do the heart of that man or that woman, that boy or girl. Amen. So Moses did make excuses, just like us. But he went on in the end. And sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You just have to say, I'm going to do it if I got to go by myself. I'm going to trust God. He has put the Holy Spirit in me. He has given me the power to do that thing which he has called me to do.
Notice in verse 14, God showed Moses that he was going to give him some help.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. He did. He did tell him that he was with him. So we just have to understand that we have to trust God. I know you keep hearing that. You keep hearing that. But it's very important to what we believe and how we believe that we trust him. That's how we live and move and have our being, because we trust God at his word. And sometimes when, you know, we're in a situation or we're having a difficult time in life, we're not thinking that way. It's just the truth. And sometimes that'll draw us to other avenues. And that's how we get in trouble. So we have to continue to trust God, believe what God has said, and like Moses, he's going to not only have him deliver the children of Israel, but he's going to get rid of all his enemies at the same time. What have God put in your hand?
All right.
You got the word of God. Whatever he put in your hand, you use it to bless others and to glorify God and to trust him. He gave him that rod, and Moses said, what am I going to do with this stick? He said, throw it on the ground. And what happened to it? Turn into a snake. Pick it up. Pastor say, look at God. Only God can do something like that. And Moses did what God told him to do along with Aaron. He went to Pharaoh. He said, you go and tell him to let my people go. Let me tell you, this trouble we in, this inflation, this stuff, all this stuff we going through that's created by these Republicans and some of these Democrats. They better let God's people go.
Yeah.
Or destruction is going to come to this whole nation.
And pastors.
And
pastors.
And pastors.
On,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
False teachers.
False teachers. Say it, Pastor.
False teachers.
Got them in bondage. Because sometimes, you know, we can't help it. Just like when we're out in the COVID and the church was closed. All kind of preachers on TV.
Yeah, say that.
Saying all kind of stuff.
Say that. Say that.
And so now we done come back to the church and the pastors and the preachers got to get that stuff out of us. Got to get it out of us. I ain't going to say what I was going to say. No. Then the pastor got to start all over again.
Yes.
Got to start all over again. False doctrine.
Yes.
They out there teaching the word of God in error.
Yes,
so many of them on TV. That's why we got to stick to God's plan, his word. Jehovah's Witnesses out telling people all kind of stuff. You know, we got to be careful. So Moses accomplished that what God has set forth to him to do. And you will too, no matter what the task is. If you still here, God is not finished with you. And whatever it is, you're going to complete the task. Trust God. Be obedient to his word. And if you fall, get back up. Go back to God and pray to him. And get right with God again. Moses ultimately had to end up trusting God for everything that he had told him that he wanted him to do. Amen. And sometimes, even though we have someone with us physically, you know, sometimes they can't direct us in the right place. So we have to look to God. We have to trust Him for everything. That's why we have to know His word and be confident in His word and trust His word as the final authority of God. Because that's what it is. So after all of that Moses went through, you could run, but you can't hide. I heard many preachers say that I'm not ready. Pastor said he was one of them. You know, and there are many that ran from the call of God on their life until they couldn't run anymore.
Right.
And really, it's not because they don't want to, it's because they don't understand that call. Too much pressure, too many people, especially as a pastor. Wouldn't
right.
you say so, Pastor?
You got that right.
All our different personalities. Can you imagine all those thousands and thousands of people that Moses had to deal with?
Yeah.
All them different attitudes, personalities. These over here murmuring, and these over here gossiping and saying this, that, and the other. Even his own sister and brother. What you say, Sister Holman? They complainers. But what did God do to them? Huh? He shut them up real quick, didn't he? Mm-hmm. They ended up with some leprosy.
That's right.
He shut them up quick. Amen. I know people say, well, they always saying that, you know, don't touch my anointed. That's true. Don't put your mouth on the man of God. That's the word of God. That's a dangerous thing to do. God know what he's doing. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you don't like in him. God knows who to put in control. David was a murderer. He killed thousands. Tens of thousands. But look at the position God put him in as king over Israel. Moses killed a man, and God used him to deliver his own people out of bondage. Amen. So God can use all of us, no matter what we've done. We need to repent. We need to come clean before God, because God is what? Holy. He's righteous. He's a saving God. But no matter what we've done, God can use us as vessels. Chosen by him. There's one thing about it. Man didn't choose you. Whatever your call is, God chose you. And he appointed you for such a time as this. Amen. So through it all, we have to learn to trust the Lord. We have to learn that what he says is right for us, even though it don't feel right sometimes. His way is the right way. Moses was weary, and we get that way too. We grow weary through the trials and the tribulations that we go through in this life. But we still have to trust God. Press on. Amen. Are there any questions? Any comments? Yes, Steve. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes. In adversity. Amen. Yes. He said, Deacon said, if Moses had to write his story, he would call it strength in adversity. Amen. That's a good one. Strength in adversity. Because some of us are going through some stuff, and, you know, everybody don't know what we're going through all the time. It's not because it's a secret. Sometimes you just got to leave it with God. You got to leave it with God. Because in the long run, he knows what's best for us. He knows. And sometimes, thank you, Deacon Urquhart, adversity draws us closer to God. We don't really know sometime the condition of our heart toward God until something happens. And then we find out that while we're in that adversity, God never left us. He was always there. But we had to go through, number one, because it's God that's going to get the glory out of it. He's going to get the glory. And then when others see us, I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, I was going to say, that's just the good part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Know that God is going to be there with us. If we look at Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, it says, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places where thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So just what you just said.
Amen. Thank
God,
you, Pastor.
God is going to be there for us. He's going to give us what we stand in need of.
Amen. And I like Psalm 91. That's one of my favorite psalms. Somebody want to get that and read it? Let us all get to it first. Let us know what translation you're reading from.
No.
That's a picture of trusting in God. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows whom he knew who Moses was. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb and had ordained us to be who we are. He knows us by name. We have to trust God. We have to depend on him. He's like a pillar when you're weak, that you can stand up and lean on. He's a rock when you get weary. Amen. Moses had to go through some stuff to be what God wanted him to be. And it drew him closer and closer to the Lord. So whatever we're going through in this day and time, draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to you. Our living is not in vain, excuse me. It's not in vain. We're going through because we're in a world that is a sinful world. Born into sin, saved by the grace of God, the blood of Jesus. And if we look at this whole picture here about Moses, we see Jesus. We see him delivering us out of the hand of sin, delivering us out of the hand of Satan, saving us unto salvation, bringing us back in a right relationship with God. This is what we see. The Holy Spirit hadn't came at that time. So God was in the tabernacle with them. And where they went, they carried the tabernacle. But now that Jesus have come, the Holy Spirit lives in each and one of us that are believers in Christ Jesus. So we carry him with the church. So if you stuck at home at any period of time, you may not be in the building, but the church is in you. It's in you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the real church is in you. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit through the salvation of God, the finished work on the cross at Calvary. Moses had to go through. And so do we, to get to where God is taking us. It's going to be easy sometime, and sometime it's going to be rough. But God is with us. We have to trust him. We have to trust him with whatever we're going through. Finances, family. Any situation, sickness. We have to trust God to get us to where he wants us to be. Any more comments? Any questions? Something I may have missed? Yes, ma'am. Well, the Hebrew is like a nationality.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's just a nationality. The Israelites were Hebrews in nationality, just like we are African Americans in Nashu, you know. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. The same people. Same people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they call you African American, they call you black, they call you a color.
Mm-hmm. They don't know what they want to call it, black, Negro, they don't know. But, yeah, it's just a nationality. Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. Yeah, well, they start intermingling further down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the New Testament, you have the Samaritans and, you know, a lot of the, because they were in bondage in those places, they were told not to marry those other nationalities because they were worshiping other gods. And so they started intermingling. They got comfortable where they were. And so they start marrying in and intermingling with those people that God told them not to. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. The chosen. Well, the Jews, no, they are a pure culture. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Gentiles did. Yeah. And some of them did marry. Joseph married. Didn't Joseph marry a pastor? He married a Egyptian, I think. Didn't he? Yeah. Joseph did. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them did start marrying those people that were worshiping idol gods. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we so messed up.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, they have some that they are true to who they are. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually had a friend that was married to, she's black, but she was, married to one. I don't know how that happened, but they didn't stay married. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't stay married. She was black. Mm-hmm. So, And the reason God said that, it wasn't because, it was because they were worshiping other gods. And see, this is what God tells us today. Don't be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. See, because a lot of times a Christian will go out and marry a Muslim or someone with a different faith, you know, and then they get mixed up and then confused, and then they come back to the pastor and, you know, and, you know, with all kind of stuff, God told me to do this, and, you know, I did what God told me to do, and, you know, this and that. But, you know, it's easy to get caught up like that, you know. And then the next thing you know, you believing in something that's totally, it's not God. Okay.
Creates problems.
Yeah. Then they need counseling and they run in the pastor. You know, but it happens all the time that they, you know, Christians intermingle with idolaters, you know, and then they want to be blessed, you know. And God is not going to bless that because he's already told us not to do it. So we have to be careful, and we got to tell our young people too, you know. And it's because, and with some older too, love is so free, but they get it confused.
Yeah, say that.
See, and so anything goes, you know. And then they can get caught up, and like Pastor said Sunday, you know, then they pull way over here believing something that's not from God.
Follow their own understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then God will turn you over to what? Reprobate mind. That was in Bible study
Romans
last week.
Romans chapter 1. Read it up.
Romans chapter 1. Yeah. Right.
It's nothing new. If you look at even our Sunday school lesson, you know, you find the same thing in there. They want to run after the other gods. Gods that satisfy them, gods that they can identify with. But there's only one true God. You know, they don't understand it. They like to do things of convenience, things of comfort. That's one of our biggest problems. You know, if we can't do something with comfort, then we got a problem with it. We tell everybody, if you're going to follow God, it's a challenge. Because what? You got to give up yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up his cross and follow him. Most people don't want to do that.
And then the pastor says Sunday, you know, you got to teach him. And be an example. You know, teach them. And sometimes you can still teach them, and they'll, like you said, once they go to college, once they leave home, they gone.
They stray away.
You know. But we have to trust the promises of God.
Bring them back.
That he'll bring them back. If they were really saved, God will bring them back. Just like the prodigal son. Amen. Sometimes you got to get in your foolishness before you realize, you know, what's
the
chaos in your life. You got to lose everything.
Yes.
You know. And in a sense, that's what we have to do. Moses had to lose himself. He had to get out of self. to find himself. That's right, Reverend Donovan. He had to get out of himself to find himself. That's true.
That's being submissive to God.
Amen. And I think we all have to do that.
There's a young man, a Boy Scout leader and everything like that. And he was in the church. His father was in the church. And there for a while, and then he came to America and he was going to that church. Even the church here with the pastor, who same lay down, he was preaching the word of God, and he got caught up in that scenario, put it that way. And right now, he don't believe God. Don't believe in Jesus. Jesus was a good man, you know. But
absolutely.
He's not Christ. Mm-hmm. How did he get so far? And then he came up with another belief. Where is this belief coming from? And a lot of people are getting in his belief. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
Because they were in the church. You know? And they stray so far away that it's difficult to bring them back. They got to find themselves.
They got to find themselves. And they're being deceived with it too. They're falling for it. Yes. We have to teach them and trust God, you know, just like God told Moses at that bush. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you for your time tonight. Thank you for bearing with me. And God bless you all. Tomorrow night will be the background scripture is going to be Luke 5:17-26. And the main idea is we can shine God's light of faith by acting on who God is. That's good. Amen.
Good evening again. Our total tonight was 112. If you know anybody in your neighborhood, some friends, family members, please invite them out. Like 9 and 10-year-old don't have anybody. And Dick and Sam's need some students.